Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally Alcorti, and my guest today is Alfred Lambremont Weber, and I'm looking forward to his calling in. He just messaged me, so let's see what he has to say so I know if there's a problem. Hope there is not. I have been looking forward to this. For some reason, I can't seem to open the message. Isn't that unfortunate? Okay, well, anyway, I have been following the many interviews he has been doing about Ebola. And quite frankly, it is it's overwhelming. This man has done what I would have to call a dissertation, and it dates back thousands of years. You will be surprised to find where the Red Cross finds its roots. You'll be surprised to find why certain pieces of legislation have been pushed through, and not just subsequent to 9/11, but subsequent to the anthrax attacks after 9/11, and what the real purpose of all of this is, and how it all ties into the Ebola vaccine, the reduction in population as a result that they're hoping for. But he also speaks about a positive timeline that has come subsequent to December 21st, 2012. So perhaps we were all supposed to have been exterminated by then. So perhaps this will be thwarted. I know that I'm very concerned about the meetings that are going down, have gone down today and will go down tomorrow, November 6th and 7th. We were alerted to this by Jane Burgermeister on her website. And then there is a drill scheduled for November 13th and November 14th. So I'm very eager to speak with Alfred, whose message I cannot open, most regrettably, about what course of action we might be able to take to thwart this. Now, of course, notifying people that it's happening, that's a really big thing. Certainly, many people are on Facebook and different social networks and have gone out to their email lists. I certainly hope they have, because it's important that people know what's going down, and not to fall for what is historically, and this is history repeating itself, the Spanish flu. You know, the Spanish flu was brought about by vaccines and aspirin and the deaths, and so is it going to be with this Ebola vaccine. I've interviewed Joel Lord about the multitude of components that have been used to create an Ebola-like symptom. So I don't know what will be in the actual vaccine itself, but they have had Ebola, declared Ebola in Africa after mass vaccinations against meningitis and other things. So there are ways of creating an Ebola effect, even if it is not Ebola, if they are declaring it to be Ebola. So the yellow fever vaccine creates also an effect of Ebola, according to Joel. So let me see if I can open up this message now. I certainly hope I can. Nope, I cannot. So I will write on his page. Please bear with me. I don't mean to be, I really wanted this to be a tight, good interview, but if he's not on the interview, we don't have a possibility of that. So let me get him on. If my Facebook will know. And okay, here we go. Okay, it says, Alfred, I cannot open your message. Can you call in now and I will post it? So I know he's a very busy man. He's been doing interviewing others and having others interview him. What I will do right now is read you his resume so that we don't tell. Oh, here it is. It says, "Hi, Sally. Just got off a 90-minute presentation in Argentina that went well. And now I'm going to get ready to dial into the program." Yes. Oh, at 8 p.m. No. Yes, okay. Okay. We await Alfred. Certainly, I am looking forward to it. So, okay. Yes. Please call in now. And I'll remind him of what the phone number is. Okay, great. So I will start by telling you his resume. I just heard him being interviewed, I think it's earlier today, but he was saying that he is a public interest advocate. He has been a journalist. He's been a public interest advocate for over 40 years. He has been a journalist, a lawyer, and he has also worked on multidimensional paradigms. So that is going to be, this is where the positive timeline comes in. This is where his knowledge of that issue comes in. So it's going to be an amazing interview if he will call in. And let me see if he has. Oh, yes, he's on the phone. Wonderful. Hello, Alfred.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Welcome, Alfred Lambramont Weber, to my show. I have just listened to another show you were on, and I gave a succinct resume for you because we only have 45 minutes on this show. So,
45 minutes. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. But having just listened to another show, it was easy for me to do. There are so many issues surrounding Ebola, and I've been following you and every interview you have done. One interview, I've had an Ebola blog, and your interview where someone was interviewing you, and you're talking about, 9/11 being the initiation of how to attack America, how to take us down, and the culmination of what they have planned for us, be it the guillotine or the Ebola vaccine. This was startling, and I thought, okay, this is as serious as can be, and people really do need to be startled. So I thank you for that. You also interviewed a young woman who gave many recommendations about what we can do, like alerting people who are already awake, like African-American people, like Jewish people. These people understand attacks. But there is there legal recourse? I'm going to get to that in a second. You talked to another gentleman about a positive timeline and how this is going to work in our favor, hopefully. But I asked you here today because today in New York City there was a meeting in Lower Manhattan at 26 Federal Plaza by FEMA, planning, and many other agencies, including the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, which is an arm of the CDC, and which is a corporation, as you lay out in one of your articles. And we don't have to listen to them. So I don't know. There's so much to talk about, Alfred. I'm very concerned, and I'd like to know how to thwart this massive false flag.
Right. Well, I think that probably, and this is just my opinion, and I really want to emphasize that there are simultaneously two developments. One is an overall development that is a cause for great happiness. And that's kind of a contextual development. And that development is, and I say this as a time scientist, and people are welcome to go to a 27-page paper that I published on the internet at the following website, www.positivefuture.info.
What of the future?
www.positivefuture.info.
Positive future. Okay. Dot info.
Positivefuture.info. Yeah. And that's a 27-page paper that discusses the following equation, which is the equation that governs what I believe to be the holographic timeline that humanity is traveling along now. And that equation is positive future equals positive timeline plus unity consciousness. And that equation came into effect starting on December 21st, 2012. Some people say there's slightly different dates. You can go there and follow all of the reasoning there. But essentially, when the interdimensional portal at the core of our universe, which is one of a humongous number of universes in our multiverse, right before coming on this show, I just spent 9 minutes at a conference down in Argentina explaining a scientific paper to scientists at Stanford who came up with an estimate of the number of universes in our multiverse. And if you try to write, if you actually attempted to write out that number, say, in 12-point type, that number alone would be 260 million miles long. So that's how many universes there are in our universe. And that gives you a sense of perspective in the cosmos overall to what's really going on here on Earth. And scientifically, what's come out of all this investigation is the following, that happily, as of December 21st, 2012, for various reasons, the timeline, our time-space hologram, is composed of multiple parallel timelines. And it's possible to shift timelines, much as you shift between parallel lanes in a multi-lane highway. And we shifted to a timeline that's a positive timeline as of December 21st, 2012. Now, that's a scientific structural certainty. So that events which were planned before that, or current events which are planned at now, which are in what we call duality consciousness. Unity consciousness is we are one. Duality consciousness is I win, you lose. Sort of the reigning ideology of the current power matrix of the planet, which has been in power, I mean, different ways of calculating, but at least 3,000 years or 50 years or 300 years. It's all sorts of intersecting duality consciousness power matrices. But they have been planning, A, that the timeline that they're on, which have been ruled by duality consciousness, is going to continue. Which it didn't, because it shifted. So all of their plans, which had been sort of coming to an end game now, which included a global depopulation event, kind of a bring down to zero of the system, you know, from 7 billion down to 500 million, and through various means, one means of which was extermination through mass pandemics, one pandemic of which was the Ebola pandemic. So it's just a means to an end, which is a bioweapons-induced pandemic. Well, what occurred is that all this planning went on in past generations because the regulations and all the bioweapons and all of the agencies and all of the ethos that was put into place to carry out this particular false flag took place on another timeline and under assumptions that became irrelevant after December 21st, 2012. And now that we're on a positive timeline, the positive timeline just will not give traction to projects that are in duality consciousness, which is I win, you lose, of which a bioweapon-induced pandemic is, you know, probably the prime example.
Right, but as you point out, though, people are thinking that they are serving the greater good by inoculating people because this is a health concern. It's not a war. It's a health concern, and they're participating for the greater good. So this is where the vaccine enter confusion.
Yeah. So, but I still want to stay with the issue of consciousness because
I think
false flags are about manipulating consciousness. And you can go back to any false flag. You can go back to Hitler invading Czechoslovakia. You can go back to the Americans blowing up the Maine in Havana Harbor to start the Spanish-American War so they could grab Puerto Rico and the Philippines. You can go back to the assassination of John Kennedy, which was the false flag that started the downward spiral of the United States into a tyranny. You can go to the false flag of 9/11. And you can go to the false flag of Hurricane Katrina. And they're all about manipulating consciousness and putting the public consciousness into a tiny box so that it thinks that it's perceiving facts that are not occurring, and then you have large masses of people just acting out certain roles because of that manipulation. So if we can cut deeply into the manipulation at this stage, you know, before it even starts, I think that that's where we can start to really make inroads, because people then you don't get caught up in these hyper-technical arguments. And you don't have people arguing in the doctor's office, well, I don't want to take that vaccine. Yes, but you know, I don't want to take that vaccine. You know, because we're starting now to argue about consciousness. So what's interesting is that this is really a global machine. And so it's a test case to see whether they can roll out the global machine of which they were so certain prior to December 21st, 2012, and the shift onto the new timeline. Let me just get that out of the way. And so that's why I don't want to jump into the darkness quite yet. I really want to finish this point. If we look at all of the false flags that have been attempted, they haven't gotten them off the ground. They have not been able to turn the corner. They weren't able to start World War III out of Syria. They weren't able to do that traction. They weren't able to start World War III out of the disappearance of MH-30, the Malaysian Airlines MH-30. And I've spent particular focus on that because that in part was run out of our energy. When I say our energy, is the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal, of which I served as a judge. All of a sudden they started to pick on Malaysian Airlines after we found George W. Bush and his cabinet, Tony Blair, and Israel as war criminals, the three main kind of war crimes front, the U.S., the U.K., and Israel. And so that engaged what we call upper theater in war crimes. So then they came back with their false flags of MH-30. See, because this game is played first at the upper theater level to try and manipulate and entrap the lithosphere, that is, the global mind at the highest level of the morphic field. And that's the level that's going on now. Whoever can trap first the morphic field of the global pandemic, what they did in 1918 was there was no Spanish flu at all. And they're able to depopulate 100 million people with vaccines and aspirin. The deadly combination was vaccines and aspirin, and they enrolled Bayer in, and Bayer did it knowingly in this culling of the population simply because they had captured the morphic field. And so that's what we're trying to do initially, because there's all sorts of information as to why vaccines don't work, and you don't want to go near the vaccines. But first, we want to let people know that there's this enormous effort, starting with George W. Bush, starting then with Clinton, then with starting with George H.W. Bush, then with Clinton, then with George W. Bush, and then with Obama Obolo, that meme, to set up a morphic trap, a morphic martial law trap for the U.S. And if everybody jumps in at the trap, Americans are going to be essentially worst case scenario, almost destroyed and depopulated in FEMA camps with firing squad executions and guillotines.
This is the trap. I am actually wanting to know, can we undo that trap, the one you're talking about that was set and involved the anthrax vaccine post 9/11. How might we thwart that trap?
And so I'd like to, just before getting there, I have to give kind of the,
okay.
I have to give the,
there are so
I have
many things to talk
the
about.
Overview. But I have to give the overview, and I have to say that this is just my opinion. You know, everybody is a sovereign human being, and everybody has their own opinion for their own, which is the best for their own life. And so I'm just giving mine. The second is that I believe that what occurred on today's Thursday, November 6th, so we had Tuesday, that November 4th, and my judgment is that the Illuminati, or the forces behind this attempted extermination of our population culling, just carried out an electoral coup in the United States by various propagandistic means, and because they had bought out because they control the judiciary of the United States. I broadcast an interview with Dr. Richard Cordero, who has shown that the U.S. judiciary is probably the most corrupt of the three branches of government and is absolutely rogue. And so it was the U.S. government, it was the judiciary who appointed George W. Bush president and went against the electoral wishes in Bush v. Gore, and who thereby facilitated this whole execution scenario by appointing George W. Bush, who's a member of the Illuminati second chapter, which is Skull and Bones, the Brotherhood of Death. And so having put in all the rules whereby money is greater than people and money has a voice, freedom of speech in politics, and you have all these billionaires that just bought their way, now what they did is they facilitated an electoral coup in states and brought in the Bilderberger, death forces into government, into a position of government in the United States. And I believe that by doing so, they made the probabilities, in other words, the stopping of this Ebola gate, even that more difficult, and the stopping of other attempts to thwart the positive timeline, such as World War III, even more difficult, because the Republicans are even closer to the depopulation elite that are in league with the negative ETs, with negative entities that are run by ritual sacrifice cults. We in league with the British monarchy, in league with the city of London and Wall Street, in league with the over 70 million multi-generational satanic American families. And this is all based on research of very well-informed guests that I've studied and that I've had. And essentially, the American public has unwittingly been, I believe, manipulated into giving the dark satanic forces even more, a greater role in their governance as of Tuesday. So it's going to be slightly harder than it was to elucidate for people the positive timeline and to make apparent what the different prongs of this attempted culling of the population are and all of its confusion. And so I would say, could you tell me how much time we have left?
Sure. We have 16 minutes left, possibly 14. It doesn't end exactly at 45 minutes. Sometimes it's 44, sometimes it's 46.
Yeah. So could you ask me questions that you would like to know?
Well, having read everything you sent and more, I really kind of, being in New York City, I am trying to figure out the best way to behave. I am an activist who takes actions to stop whatever it is they have planned for the 13th and the 14th here in our fair city.
Okay. Well, number one, I would say, and this is my personal opinion, that in terms of the plans that they may have for this drill, that the probabilities of the drill and of Ebolagate as a false flag probably increased with the election of the more of the Republicans and neocons and the recontrol of this of the two houses as of November 4th. And the reassumption of the Death Party and the World War III Party into a power. That would be my assessment. So I would say that the first thing to do is to go to Google Ebolagate and to go there and to become familiar with the vitamin C, exactly what the Ebola virus is, and to become familiar with the natural remedies to the Ebola virus, which are essentially vitamin C, and to start taking at least 1,000 milligrams as a base of vitamin C a day. Number one.
Did you say how many milligrams?
1,000.
1,000 a day.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Number two, it would be to go on that page, and there's various forms of how to take the no vaccine pledge, how to protect your children in school and make sure that your children are not going to be vaccinated, and to disengage from the current system around vaccinations. Number three, to read the papers that are on there on the positive timeline and to understand deeply at a deep ontological level that we're in a virtual experience in the time-space hologram and that we are souls that are holographic fragments of source, of God, that are incarnating here in a virtual experience and are avatars like Sally and Alfred. And this is, you know, what's going on in this particular time-space hologram, that we're going through detritus or fragments from an old catastrophic, that were planted in an old catastrophic timeline that are kind of flying by. And that's what this whole Ebolagate thing is. And Ebolagate is a name for this false flag, bioweapons with martial law, attempted depopulation attack. And if you Google Ebolagate, you'll be taken to our blog, and you can go through all of the articles there and get a fair understanding of the maneuver and the op that they're trying to do. So with that, you'll begin to acquire some fairly strong internal sovereignty and independence, so you don't get enmeshed in any of the panic news, in any of the mainstream news. And it's as though these agencies that are doing all this are living in a separate dimension, in a separate reality that doesn't affect our dimension because we're on a positive timeline. And they are trying to invade our timeline and trying to drag as many souls, as many minds into their timeline. It hasn't been proven yet that they're going to get any traction. So I would say that the main thing is not to get enmeshed in their drama, to inform yourself as to what is necessary for health for yourself, to have enough food and wherewithal around to feed yourself and your family, and not to get in that stuff, and to read all of the alternatives. Join groups on, we have it if you're on Facebook, or, you know, go to, what is it, Bird Flu 666 and Ebola Gate and John Rappaport. And there's a lot of different alternative news that will keep you informed as to, you know, this name that they're trying to do. So that is kind of a general way. I would caution against the usual type of activism in the sense that the danger is that one would get enmeshed in it and run, you know, and so I would just be very cautious against getting enmeshed in it, which is what occurred, say, when they did the false flag in the St. Louis suburb. And the best sort of activism that I found is to deconstruct the false flag and then publish that.
Well, that's where I'm kind of wondering, since there seems to be, even though they're not being clear, so we can't object to a specific action because we don't know which of the many scenarios they have will actually be carried out. We know that there is a threat of many. So can one impose an injunction with the information that we currently have, what has transpired thus far with the Ebola vaccine? Would it be possible to stop it legally?
Well, yeah. We had a number of conversations, collective conversations with longtime anti-vaccine activists, and Jim Turner, the noted attorney in Washington who successfully sued the CDC to stop the swine flu vaccine, and this is within the last several weeks. So he said that we first had to find a plaintiff who was being forced to take the Ebola vaccine. So what you can do is, as activists, is start putting out the word to find someone who is being forced to take the Ebola vaccine and get that name, you know, who doesn't want to take it, and get that name and person to us very quickly. You can contact us at ecologynews.com, and our email is news@ecologynews.com. And we will then get that information to Jim Turner, who's in Washington. He's a long time leader. He successfully sued the CDC to enjoin the going ahead with the swine flu. But you need, just because of the rules of the game, you need a live and active plaintiff, a person who's being forced to take the Ebola vaccine who does not. So that's probably one of the greatest services that you could do at this point in terms of activism. So if you could start a campaign to do that, that would be good. That would be a very practical thing.
Great. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned a no vaccine pledge on a specific website, but I didn't get the name of that website.
That's at our Ebola Gate blog.
Okay, Ebola Gate blog. Thank you.
Yeah, and that pledge comes from a website that's called Say No to Vaccines. It's called Say No to Vaccines.
Okay. Okay, so basically we want to find somebody who is being pressured or forced to take the Ebola vaccine, and only at that time can we move in terms of any kind of a legal action. Not
well,
the threat of
that,
it, but the...
That's a court action. Now, what you can do is you know, this is what I would do. I used to be in New York City government back in the Lindsay days. I was general counsel in the Environmental Protection Administration of the city of New York, and I used to be an activist as well. I would invade the city council with all of your information, and I would go person counselor by counselor with a full file, and I would have the city council put a stop to these plans for Ebola-gate by showing what a flaw.
You know, this is terrific. I'm glad you're bringing this up. I have been in there, the health committee of the New York City Council's face endlessly. They call me Vaccine Free NYC. That's what they think my name is. To stop the mandates for the smallest children. They are no longer of the flu shot. They have mandated that here in New York City. I've been trying for months to stop this, or for almost a year now. But anyway, I basically, anybody who's out there who would like to work with me on trying to stop this, they have stopped responding to me. So, you know, unfortunately, I've kind of worn out my welcome trying to save the smallest, and I need others to join with me, okay? I'm just putting out the call.
How can people reach you?
Oh, okay. I'll put my link directly underneath. International Vaccine Injury Awareness is a good way. International Vaccine Injury Awareness on Facebook.
Yeah, and likewise, we're recording this program, and we're going to distribute this program widely. And I would say to everyone listening to this program to go to your village council, go to your city council, take all of the pledges off of Say No to Vaccine, off of Ebola Gate, and go there and have your local city council shut down this Ebola Gate false flag, because they're all doing it with the compromised feds and the compromised state stuff. And it's a bioweapons assault, you know? And Ebola can be easily cured with vitamin C. It's a fraud.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I've actually gone to the director of International UNICEF to tell them the same thing about the polio vaccine when they found 22 cases in Syria and wanted to give a triple dose to 22 million children in the Middle East as a result. I said, oh, to do that, vitamin C cures polio, you know, and of course they paid no heed. These are our elected officials, however. And if it's more than just I, and whomever is out there listening, as Alfred says, go to your local township, be sure you go with someone. Do not be the lone person, but if you have to be the lone person, be that person.
Right, right. And so I think that might be the headline coming out of our program here, because I think that has to happen nationwide. Because, as I say, my judgment is that on November 4th, the American people elected the henchman and the executioner to office. And it's counterintuitive what they did, but that's what they did.
Well, I'm really glad to speak with you, because coming from you, Alfred Lambramont Weber, people will listen, and I listen to you. I am a devoted listener to you. I've learned so much that we are simply scratching the surface here. I will put all the previous interviews that I've shared with many that you have done as a background, because this is an extensive topic we are talking about here, and you deserve to know the history, and he has laid it out on every level for us. So we may as well benefit from it. And thank you very much for being my guest today, Alfred Lambramont Weber, and for basically encouraging people to take action, because I can't do this by myself, and people listen to you.
Well, people listen to you, and I think people are starting to listen to themselves.